Morning. Most of you people probably drove here. And then as you traveled along the road, did you happen to notice there were signs on the roadway that warn us of what's coming ahead? Might be a school zone, might be speed limits. Could be road work. You see a lot of road work signs. Well, that goes hand in hand with, because the Holy Spirit goes ahead of us and warns us of what's ahead. All we have to do is pay attention. And what we find is it's not easy to be a Christian. Believers face persecution and suffering. And that was the case in Thessalonica. And that's why Paul, when he wrote this letter, he used words like affliction. And that meant like pressure from the circumstances around you. And he used the suffering. That's the same word that was used to describe our Lord suffering. He used the word persecuted, which means to be driven out and rejected. Well, Paul knows how that feels. Many of the cities he was driven out of. In today's scripture, he uses contrary. That was a word that was used to describe the winds that blow against you, hindering your progress. And the word hindered pictures a road that is broken up so badly that your travel is blocked. And so this morning, our message is titled, Rough Road Ahead, which means put it in four-wheel drive and keep going. We can expect delays. We can expect difficulties. We can expect people to downright not like us. Yet, in the midst of all that, Paul tells us the Thessalonians experienced joy. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." All churches, all believers, experience growing pains. Now, we don't experience the same kind of persecution that the early Christians did. But if we're living a godly life in Christ, we're going to suffer for his sake. But we have divine resources that we can pull upon to help us during those times of suffering and persecution. We're going to go to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin with verse 13, and yes, we'll finish chapter 2 today. Verse 13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. We have the Word of God within us. The exact same Word that brings salvation enables us to live for Christ and to endure suffering for His sake. So we should have the right spiritual attitude toward the Word. We should appreciate the Word. We should receive it as coming directly from God, not from men. Why? Because, just want to read one scripture that's out of the ordinary here. I didn't even put it in my notes, but it came to me last night. It's the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word that we read is God. We must never treat this book like any other book on the library shelf. It's special. It's different. Its origin is different. It's different in character, and it's different in content. And the cost of this book was expensive. Life of Jesus Christ. Because it is the Word of God. It's inspired by the Spirit of God. It's written by men of God who were used by the Holy Spirit to record scripture for us to read later. So God's Word is holy. It's pure, and it's perfect. There's no mistakes here. It's perfect. It is the truth. All that being said, the way a Christian treats his Bible basically shows how he regards Jesus Christ. I was a young boy, and many, many, many years, I don't know how many years, I never put anything on top of my Bible. It was always the top book, and I wouldn't put an ashtray on it. I smoked back then. I wouldn't put an ashtray on it. I don't know, I'm just a young kid, 17, 18, but the reverence for the God's Word was somehow instilled in my being. It's the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. But Jesus and the written Word are the same. In essence, they're the same thing. They are both bread. Matthew 4:4. I'm going to jump all over the place here. Matthew 4:4. I should have put bookmarks in here, but I didn't. We'll just lengthen the service a bit. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So both are bread. Both are light. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So they're both light. They are both the truth, too. John 14:6. Jesus again said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. So they are the truth. So when you are sitting down in your quiet place and you're reading your Bible, it's the exact same thing as Jesus sitting right next to you, just talking to you and sharing his thoughts. And so the truth of the whole matter boils down to three things. Here it is. One, would you rather have your Bible than food? Because Job was sitting in a pile of ashes and he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See, his word is not only just bread, it's milk and it's honey. It's meat. Hebrews 5 tells you that. Psalm 119. In the story of Mary and Martha, Mary chose the word. Martha chose cooking. Which one will we choose when it comes to the word or food? How about money? Would you rather have God's word than money? What does Psalm 119 say? Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. That's verse 14. In verse 72 of the same psalm, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And we can keep going. Verse 127 of 119. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. You know why? Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So would you rather have God's word than sleep? Psalm 119 again. Verse 148, the psalmist is talking. He says, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Now, if you know the history, there were four watches in the night. It started at 6 p.m. And the first watch was 6 to 9. And then it went from 9 to midnight. And then midnight to 3. And then 3 to 6 a.m. And the watch ended. And this psalmist says, I'm going to stay up on my watch and I'm going to meditate on your word. So what are we willing to give up to spend time with God? Paul says they receive the word. There's two different words for received in the Greek. The first one means simply to accept for one another. Here, accept this $100 bill. The other means to welcome. One means hearing of the ear. But the other one means hearing of the heart. So we must not only hear the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but we must take it into our heart, our inner being, and make it part of our lives. Now, Jesus warned people about the wrong kind of hearing. It was right after the parable of the sower that he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, he's saying, take heed that you hear. Pay attention. Use every opportunity that you have to hear the word of God. But then he went on to say in Mark 4:24, he said, take heed what you hear. So don't just listen to every wisp of gospel. It must be the truth. So many times believers come into a church on Sunday to hear the word of God. And then afterwards they jump in their cars and they crank up that radio. And they listen to stuff that erases everything they just heard in church. But Jesus had a third warning in Luke 8:18. He said, take heed how you hear. You see, careless hearers have what the Bible calls itching ears. They want religious entertainment instead of listening to the truth of the teachings of God's word. In my opinion only now, there's too many churches that have substituted the preaching of God's word for entertainment. And as a result, people no longer hunger for the truth because they're not going there to hear it. So, heed that you hear, take heed what you hear, and take heed how you hear, and apply the word, the complete word, in our lives. And we will be hearers and doers of the word. Because here's why. God's word has inside it the power to accomplish God's will in our life. Jesus commanded the cripple to stretch out his hand. I don't have that scripture, but you know it's in there. That was the very thing he could not do. That hand was withered and crippled. He couldn't do it. And the Lord Jesus said, stretch it out. That word, that command, gave that man the power to obey. He trusted the word. He obeyed the word. And he was made whole. I do have that scripture, Mark 3:1-5. So when we believe God's word, because reading the scripture is the same as Jesus talking to you, because the word is the word, when we believe God's word and when we obey God's word, he releases power, a divine energy like this earth doesn't know, that works in our lives to fulfill his purposes. In the case of our scripture there, his purpose was for that man's hand to be made whole. Paul goes on in verse 14. And he's talking to the Christians in Thessalonica. He says, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. You see, people that are suffering can sometimes become very self-centered and think that they're the only ones that are going through this fiery furnace, that there's nobody else in the world but me that's suffering. Now, I'm not talking about the normal suffering, sicknesses, illnesses, pain, bereavement. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everybody goes through them. The sufferings that we endure because we're Christians. And we do. Maybe your family disowned you because of your faith. Maybe you were passed over at work for a promotion because you're a Christian. And these hurt. We're human. They hurt. But we're not alone. There is a ton of Christians going through the same sufferings. All over the world. And many of them face greater things than we have to face. Harder difficulties. Really difficult choices. God's word says, consider it a high honor. In fact, a privilege to suffer because of Christ in your life. Hebrews says that we have been saved by the uttermost. And our scripture in verse 16 says, unbelievers will experience wrath to the uttermost. Now, there's a great value in attending a gathering of Christians together. Because we stand together in times of difficulty and we encourage one another. You remember the story of Elijah? He isolated himself from the other Israelites. He thought Jezebel was going to take him out, and so he ran off and became all alone. And he thought he was the only one that was still alive for the Lord, and he got discouraged and he wanted to quit. Kill me, he says. I'd rather die. A lonely saint is vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And that's why we need to gather together as the brethren to get through the battles of life. And Paul says in verse 17 here, he goes on, he says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. There's times, like Paul, where we wish to stay a little bit longer in the place where we've been planted. But that's not always God's will. And sometimes we're told, move on. I liked it up in New Hampshire. It was a nice place. But through my helpmeet, the Lord said, move on. And that happened to Paul. And when it happens to us, don't look back. Don't give in to regret and remorse. Instead, look ahead and rejoice. Because being a Christian, the best is yet to come. Look ahead and see your family and your friends that are already in the presence of our Lord Jesus. That's just a very small way of exercising your faith. In times of trouble, in testing, it's important that we take the long look, not the one right in front of us, but the final. One day we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're not judged for our sins, we're judged for our works, and we receive crowns. We receive rewards, is what the scriptures say. And that should motivate us to be faithful in spite of what we're going through. Did you know there's a special joy and reward for the one that wins souls? That's in Daniel 12. There's a crown for believers who subdue their own body for the glory of God. Those who just look lovingly at the appearing of Jesus Christ get a crown of righteousness just for believing in his second coming. 1 Peter says a faithful pastor anticipates the crown of glory. And we know Jesus told us, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. So when you're going through this persecution and suffering, and perhaps you're thinking of throwing in the towel, you know where that expression came from? Come from a boxing sport. Paul encourages us in this letter to the Thessalonians. He says, don't give up. Lay hold of the spiritual resources that you have in Jesus Christ. You have the Word of God in you. You have the people of God all around you. And you have the glory of God going before you. So in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. Never, 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 never give in. Heavenly Father, be with us. Give us that strength to go on, proclaim your name to everyone that's in front of us, not fearing man, because he cannot do anything to us, only fearing God, and to never, never, never give up. Bless our gathering and the snacks together, Lord, and keep everyone safe as we look forward to you coming to take us up in glory. In Jesus' name we all come to you. Amen.